This session was originally envisaged as a seminar for the brahmacharis, and as it was suggested that others might also like to attend, it's been renamed Celibacy for All. We don't see many brahmacharis here. They're already perfect. They're already self-realized. So where do we begin? Adirasan is the name of that one sweet in Sri Rangam.
Adirasan
was Tamil pronunciation. It's sweet. The original taste is sweet. In this material world, it's also sweet, but it's sweet poison. Sweet in the beginning, bitter at the end. Anyway, I was thinking to continue. Little more comment on what I was saying last night about how housewives can remember statement of the gopis to Krishna. This should be understood in context. Not that our devotee housewives will, like certain housewives from Delhi who go on Govardhan Parikrama, calling out, "I am a gopi. May gopi whom? I am a gopi." Not like that. How to adopt the purport of this verse? I should have brought my laptop. The gopis present themselves samsara kupa patita. We have fallen in the well of material existence. But still we desire to always meditate within our hearts on your, namely Krishna's, lotus feet, which are the actual subject of meditation for the yogis. So the gopis are speaking like this. And it's somewhat, there's a touch of facetiousness in there. Facetiousness means like sarcasm, something like that. Touch of sarcasm. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Anyway, the gopis are not falling in the well of material existence. We can get out of the well of material existence, or the wheel of material existence, by remembering the gopis. But they feel themselves to be fallen in the well of material existence. And they're praying that by meditating on your lotus feet, that you will lift us up from this position. However, it's a very useful meditation for us who are fallen in the well of material existence. So when I was saying we can meditate on this verse and get the mercy of the gopis, it's like I said, not that we just start running around thinking I'm a gopi all of a sudden, although you might be, but there's some obstruction between our understanding that we're gopis and our present situation, which is some obstruction. I mean, there's a big ocean of material desires. So here we are, celibacy for all. Material desires begins with adirasa. In the material world, it's yanmaitunadi. It's the same thing. Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. The insignificant attachment to material desire, beginning with sex life. But to us it seems very significant, doesn't it? It doesn't seem tucham to us, it doesn't seem like a very small thing. The whole world is running on that. It seems very significant. But then the whole material world compared to Krishna is just insignificant. Bhakti means to serve Krishna. who is the original lover. This word love is, if we try to understand Krishna's love through the understanding of love in this world, we won't be able to. This sex desire is very strong, is it not? Who can deny? As I was saying, to us it doesn't seem like tucham, it doesn't seem like insignificant. It seems to be that which dominates our existence. But it's only a perverted reflection of Krishna's love for the gopis and the queens of Dwarka, especially for the gopis, for Radharani. So it's just a perverted and tiny reflection. So we can't really understand, but we can try and, or we can make some comparison, that if all the lusty, you can't measure lusty desire, but we know it's a lot. It's a big thing. Even for one of us. What to speak of us, even for a cow or a pig or a mouse, sex desire is very powerful. So if we take all the sex desire of every living entity that ever existed in the universe throughout the whole of time and put it all together, one big ball of lust or one huge ocean of lust, it's still not a drop compared to the ecstasy of love Krishna feels for the gopis and for especially for Radharani at any one moment. So that's what it means by Yan Maituna Adi Grihamedi Sukham Hi Tucham. It's insignificant. Krishna knows how to love. We don't know how to do it. We're just very poor imitators. So we can pray to the gopis that they are praying to Krishna, feeling themselves to be fallen in the well of material existence. Sansara kupa patita, fallen in the well of material existence. So let us imagine what it's like to be fallen in a damp, dark, cold, smelly with what's that, stagnant water. In a well, very deep well, and no one around. And then you try to climb up the side, and it's slippy, and you keep on slipping back. You don't get very far. So that's our situation. Well, most people are not even trying to get up. Because they've accepted that situation. Yep, I'm in the well, and we don't know anything but the well, and it's quite nice down here. Some insects to eat, the frog in the well. But some people are looking up and seeing a long way up. There's some light. I don't like it in this well. You don't like it, but then Mrs. Frog comes along, and then you think, well, it's not so much fun down here, but there is, after all, the conjugal relationship between Mr. Frog and Mrs. Frog, and it makes life in the well worth living. Some are looking up. What is there? Let us try to go up. They have information of life beyond the well. There is something better. It is categorically better. We have to get up beyond that well. So we get information. Here's the way to go, but we keep on slipping back. There is hope. There is hope. There is the rope of the Vaishnava's mercy that if they throw, but we also have to take it. That's the point. We have to take it. We have to take it. And if we take it, and take it means we have to hold on tight, then they can pull us up. What is it, by our own effort we can get free from Maya? No. It's by the Vaishnava's mercy. But we have to take it also. It's not just that. Just like this morning we're having a discussion about getting a, you have to have a liberated guru or a premi bhakta as a guru. Maybe, but however exalted your guru is, you still have to hold the rope of mercy that he comes. It's not just that you sit in a ceremony, you get initiated by him, and that's it. Now you're initiated by a premi bhakta. That's it. Instant praying. It doesn't work like that. You have to take the mercy also. So a lot of the essential for that the disciple does his work also. His or her, as we say in modern English. So yeah, celibacy for all. But actually brahmacharya, it doesn't even mean celibacy. That's an acquired meaning. Because the brahmacharya is the first of the four ashrams in which in this ashram celibacy is observed. It's also observed in vanaprastha life and in sannyas life. So brahmacharya has come to be understood as celibate life, but that's not the etymological meaning. Brahmacharya means simply means moving or living in the spiritual. So brahmana has the same connotation, but it's come to be thought of as being a celibate, maybe because the thought is there, you know, you only have to hang on so long and then you can go and be a grihastha. Then you can enjoy. That's why the brahmacharya was told in that story, Jivo Ma Marova, you die immediately, no need to live. Why all these are, you did enough tapasya, now you just, you don't need to do any more, just go back to Godhead. It's no fun being a brahmacharya. But it's not about celibacy, it's about being Krishna conscious. That's why it's not really celibacy for this brahmacharya seminar. I don't want to talk yet again about how to avoid getting married. What a boring subject. Again and again. I hear it once is enough. And then if you're convinced, then you're a brahmacharya. If you're not convinced, get married better. Brahmacharya is not just about, you know, looking the other way when the women come and gritting your teeth and taking ice cold showers. It's about what does the Shastra say? Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Gurur Hitvan Gurur Hitan Acharan Dasavan Nicho Guru Sudhrida Sohrida. Guru, Brahmachari lives in the Gurukul. He lives in the Gurukul, yeah. As a slave, we can translate this. He lives like a slave, a surrendered servant of his Guru, but with a strong attitude of friendship, or that word Maharaj was using in the class, Suhrit. Sohridam means a heart-to-heart friendship. Friendship means not here, just like on the same level, but naturally the guru is teaching everything to the brahmachari, and the brahmachari feels very grateful, so it's an attitude of great affection. So it's an ashram of spiritual learning and advancement. It's more on a positive basis than simply avoiding being married. Like I said, if you hear once and understand, and there may be some struggles and this and that, but it's not. If again and again you have to say that, don't get married, don't get married, don't get married, then the emphasis is just, it's in the wrong way. That's also required. But it shouldn't be. Someone who needs to be told again and again and again, then they never really learned it anyway. So it's good to discuss these points also. It's discussed, these points of how sex life is the entanglement in the material world. These points come again and again in the Shastra, in the parts of Shastra which are meant for spiritual advancement. In Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again and again, we get this. Srila Prabhupada often spoke about this. Srila Prabhupada said these points should be discussed regularly. This is kirtan, Srila Prabhupada said, that will make the mind strong. But really, brahmachari is more about serving the guru, serving the mission of the guru, than about simply remaining unmarried. To be a bachelor and to be a brahmachari is a different thing. Simply not to be married doesn't make one a brahmachari. Those who are brahmacharis in the Krishna conscious movement have a very good opportunity to serve Guru and Krishna. Better than the grihasthas, as we often hear grihasthas say. That when I was a brahmachari, that was my best time, or they never had brahmachari life and said, well, I wish I had. Because grihasthas don't have so much time, especially in the modern world, they're busy in earning their livelihood, busy earning money. And even if the very few cases where they're not busy earning money, actually, that's maybe, I don't know what it's like in this country. In India, it's crazy how the modern life in the cities, how hard they have to work. And then in the West, it's not so intense, it seems. I mean, people, mostly they work from, their job is from 9 to 5. It's like that. It must be the same in Croatia. They have all these rules. They can't employ people so long. This and that. I know when Indians go to America, they say, actually, we have a lot more time here because the people don't work so such long hours. It's how the Indian economy is developing, because people work like, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. It's just normal. Yeah. It's true. Anyway, even if you do have time, there are so many, well, there are family obligations, social obligations, and attachments, which are all obstacles on the path of spiritual advancement. So, brahmachari is the best situation in which to serve Guru and Krishna. One can, brahmachari can be content with just a little space to, it doesn't need a big apartment, small, just any space to sleep and a little prasadam and serve and study. Brahmachari life is also especially meant for study. In Hyderabad, the temple had just been constructed. There was a room, maybe maybe half this size, approximately. It's difficult to say because it's a different shape. Maybe half this size. I can't remember the exact number. It was at least 20. Prabhupada said 20 brahmacharis can live in here. Maybe he said more. I can't remember exactly. There was just enough space for that number of brahmacharis to lie down and maybe have a little bag also. Prabhupada said 20 brahmacharis can live here. As we heard from Manidha Prabhu, that's Indian style, the Indian style of living. Anyway, it's just in the minimal space, the maximum number of people. But the point is that a brahmachari is very simple. Doesn't need anything more than required to keep body and soul together, and simply serve Krishna. That's all. So those who are in the brahmachari ashram, those who are fortunate to be in the brahmachari ashram, they have the opportunity to perform much service. So simply to be a monk, it's not enough. This you have this word monk, you must have, right? In your language. Yeah, it probably has the same, must have the same connotations as in, yeah. So I know in England and America, the devotees, the brahmacharis, they present themselves as, it's nowadays they present themselves as monks. The public can never relate to us. Who are these people, these funny looking people? But nowadays we use the word monk, and then people can, okay, all right, we understand what that is. We heard about monks. You know, there used to be things called monks. It's like something out of some old story or something. The monks used to be a significant percentage of the population in the good old days when people were eating, sleeping, mating and defending as we are today, but society was somewhat different in some other ways. So there's an idea, people can, okay, they can put you in a box, monk. Oh, this is, he's a monk, okay. So then now they understand what it is. So they feel comfortable. Or monk also, in the modern age, there's Buddhism has become fashionable in America and other more degraded countries. So, maybe when they think of monk and they see, this is not the kind of color that Christian monks wear. I don't think there's any wear this color, but it's more identified with Buddhist monks. So if you say monk, they say, okay, all right. A few years ago, one devotee in England was telling me that the public used to think when they saw men dressed like this, they used to think we're very effeminate. Because, you know, robes like that, it looks like women's dress. But nowadays when they see us, they think that's kind of macho because they saw these kung fu movies. Funny how people think. Anyway, nowadays we identify ourselves to the public as monks. But when we think of a monk, we generally think of, well, we use the word cloistered away. They're in the cloisters. Have that word, cloister? Yeah, same word. It means there's some peaceful monastery and the monks are behind the walls praying, brewing beer. That's the monks invented beer.
You know that?
And vodka, I believe, also. Because, I don't know why, but anyway. Some of the most famous wines are from monasteries, right? In this country also? They own big lands and... Old monk whiskey, is it? It's from Ireland, I think. And, yeah, well, wine is essential in the Christian Catholic liturgy, right? You have to, in the Mass, they have to drink some wine. Anyway, the general idea of a monk is a kind of, you know, harmless fellow sitting behind some walls and not really doing very much. But devotees, brahmacharis, are not meant to be like that. Brahmachari should be dynamic, should be, if you got the opportunity, should be doing, to be free from family encumbrances, then you should be doing something very positive in the service of the Sankirtan mission. So this is my message for the Brahmachari seminar, that don't just be a monk, an old monk, an old worn out monk, but do something significant and positive. So that's another fashionable word. Do something for the Sankirtan mission. You have the opportunity, so take it. There are so many towns and villages in the world where people are not chanting Hare Krishna. So many people who don't have Prabhupada's books, so many people who do have Prabhupada's books and would like to know more, so take the opportunity. And family life, how to get out of the deep dark well, for those who have fallen in the deep dark well of family life, samsara, the well of samsara. Samsara means birth and death, and it's also, I don't know about in Sanskrit, but in modern Hindi, in other Indian languages, it means family life. Someone will talk about my samsara. It means my family life. And it has the connotation also, like I'm entangled like this. But there's another samsara, Krishna samsara. Krishna samsara koro charyana cha. Krishna mata, Krishna pita, sarva dharma sa, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Don't live in the maya samsara. Live in the samsara, the family life of Krishna. Krishna samsara koro charyana cha. Give up all bad habits or bad behavior, and understand Krishna is our mother and father, and the sarva dharma sa, the essence of all dharma. So how to get out of this deep dark well for those who are fallen in it? Well, one way is to take sannyas. That's one way, but that's recommended for those who, householders, who have grown up, had children, their children are grown up, they have no more family responsibilities, then move to vanaprastha life, and if you're ready and fit, then accept sannyas. Sannyas is for preaching. Otherwise, there's no particular need to accept sannyas officially, but everyone should be renounced. Gradually, one has to become renounced from family life. But how to, while within family life, how to be in Krishna's family, and not just that we're Hare Krishna devotees and we're just like normal people in every other way. That's there's been a lot of preaching like this in the last 20 years or so, that people should think of our devotees like, we should be like normal people. And now they think, yeah, they're normal people, because we are normal people. We're vegetarians and we come to festivals like this once a year, and otherwise we're normal people. So what have we got to offer anyone if we're just normal? Rather, devotees should be seen as better than normal. Otherwise, what are we preaching? If we're just normal, then what are we going to preach? Then it's just dogmatism. Join the Jehovah's Witnesses. Become a Mormon. Become a Muslim. Become a Buddhist. Become a Hare Krishna. And then it's just some dogmatic preaching. But actually we should have a better life. So if we want to spread that better life to others, then to be a normal Grihamedi with a little bit of Hare Krishna thrown in, that's not going to be very attract. And what's the purpose anyway? And why we don't even feel inspired? Why do you want to spread that to others? Then we'll say, yes, you watch TV, you have rock music and dogs and cats, and don't say it very loudly, but you might chant Hare Krishna. Don't say it. Don't say Hare. There's some preaching like that going on, in some so-called preaching in some parts of ex-Yugoslavia. It's called preaching. I don't know why it's called preaching. But Grihasthas can also go door to door, as the Jehovah's Witnesses do, as the Mormons do, preaching. Our devotees can take Prabhupada's books, do something significant for Krishna. If those of you who have heard of the World Sankirtan newsletter and read it regularly, who's heard of the World Sankirtan newsletter? Okay. Ladies, I didn't look that side. Anyone? Anyone heard of the World Sankirtan newsletter? Never heard of it. A look of mystification. I just said some difficult Sanskrit words. I'm going to introduce something from the realm of mysticism. The World Sankirtan newsletter was started. Tell Manitha Prabhu about this one. Was started by, I believe it was Shrutadeva Prabhu, to report the book distribution scores to Srila Prabhupada. He started it, I believe, about 1975. And Prabhupada used, I think it was sent every week in those times. Was it? In the beginning, every week. And Prabhupada read it. This temple has distributed so many books. This temple has distributed this many books. This devotee has distributed this many books. And Prabhupada loved it. In fact, Prabhupada, when he was in the last few months lying on his bed in Vrindavan, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was with him at that time, constantly, he was sending reports. That the thing that seems to enliven Prabhupada the most, well, definitely reports of preaching enliven Prabhupada, and especially the book distribution scores. And Prabhupada, at that time, devotees were going mad distributing books, because Prabhupada said, if you distribute more and more books, then I'll remain another 100 years. Because we're all saying Prabhupada's going to pass away. Prabhupada said, you distribute more books, I'll remain another 100 years. So devotees went wild distributing books. So Prabhupada loved that, and then it was continued after Prabhupada left. And it's going on even today. It was very dear to Prabhupada. So now it's monthly, and it comes out on the PAMHO system, and it's also probably on the internet somewhere. I get it through the PAMHO system. Anyway, for those of you who think that Manida is just some kind of old madman, it has been stated many times by Srila Prabhupada that book distribution is the most, in many statements, that book distribution is the most important and effective means of preaching. I mean, there are dozens of statements by Prabhupada giving, and his own personal example, how much importance he gave to that. So back to the World Sankirtan newsletter, those of you who look at it will see most of the temples in India are way on top in terms of numbers of books distributed. Delhi Temple and Delhi Temple are often one and two. That means Delhi, Nehru Place, that's the big temple, and then Punjabi Bagh is sometimes ahead of them. They have two main temples in Delhi, and then there's one in Ghaziabad and one in Noida, and which are all like suburbs of Delhi. There's so many temples in Delhi. And so anyway, they're doing lots of books, and then you'll find Bombay Juhu, Bombay Chopati. They're like doing more, so many books. A lot of this book distribution is done by grihastas. It's not the brahmacharis do a lot, but a lot is done by grihastas who have taken it seriously. And it's not just in India, all over the world grihastas can do book distribution. And in fact, some of the most, what we can understand, advanced devotees in our movement are grihastas who are doing book distribution and have been doing book distribution for years. Now you have in Ljubljana Hare Krishna Das from Italy, who's been distributing books and books and books and books for how many years? 25 years. And then there's so many. The Bhrigupati Prabhu, he's now in Los Angeles. He's been there for the last, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years. Well, he's a full-time. These are full-time book distributors, devotees who got married a long time ago, or maybe they joined married, I don't know, but they just went on distributing books all their lives. He has children, Hare Krishna? His children, or two children also. Bhrigupati, I don't think he had children. Vaisheshika, distributing books. And Mataji, some Matajis also, who are distributing books for many, many years. And now these are devotees who, well, Hare Krishna, he wasn't connected with the temple. He was doing from his home, right? For many, many years. The others I mentioned, they're all Prabhupada disciples, and they've been connected with temples, like living in the temple as grihastas. But apart from that, there are many devotees who do it when they can. They get some time, they go out and distribute books, or they just carry books with them all the time when they go to the grocery store, when they go to visit their relatives, or they sponsor books. They give Lakshmi so that others can distribute books. Like you have this Shastra Dan program, which was started in Croatia and has been successfully exported to other countries of the world. Started in Croatia, right? Yeah. Who started it? Venugopal in Rijeka, is it?
No, in Split.
In Split, okay.
It's called once a week.
Uh-huh. Well, San Jose, which is near to San Francisco. Yeah, no, Mahatapa is in... He helped to develop it in Croatia, then he started in Los Angeles, and now he's doing it in San Diego. But I'm talking about in San Jose, which is close to San Francisco, part of the Bay Area. Vaisheshika Prabhu is based there. And he started this program called Weekend Warriors. When you said once a week, I thought of that. In which he gets... I can't remember. Every Friday night they have a program and in the temple. And then all day Saturday, all the grihastas are out distributing books. And they do, between them, they do a lot of books. So that's something. It's like in the Weekend Warrior program, like the energy is generated from the temple, and then all the congregation get fired up. And actually, what I was saying, we can get out of the well of material existence by taking the mercy. A lot of mercy comes in book distribution. Those who do it know it. Those who don't can't imagine it until they do it. So, by doing that, one gets such mercy that material desires become insignificant. It works. It happens. It's not that book distributors don't fall down. That can happen also. But those who do it, they anyway, you go and do it, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Then you'll experience the bliss of giving Bhagavad Gita as it is, or any of Srila Prabhupada's books to others. When you go house to house or on the street, and then you just see people in a different light. If you're just walking and you're walking, you don't really see people, but when you confront them with Prabhupada's books, and then, you know, all their material defenses come up, or they open up, and somehow or other, if you give them Prabhupada's book, that every time the feeling, the understanding, that this person now, after many millions of lives, has the opportunity to take this knowledge and become Krishna conscious. So one doesn't have to go trying to climb up the slimy walls of the dark well and necessarily slipping down again and again. But if one takes up the mission, especially this book distribution, then Brahmachari Grihastha, they get strength. Yesterday we were asked about japa retreats. But I thought, all right, that's okay, but what about kirtan attacks? How to overcome Maya? Go on the japa retreat. But attack is the best means of defense. So better go on the Sankirtan attack. Attack Maya. Who are we to attack Maya? We cannot, but we can bring. We're not capable. We don't have the strength, but we can bring Prabhupada's books to others. We can be an instrument in doing that. So that's a suggestion. You can try it and see what happens. Alright. So any questions about celibacy for all and related topics? What's the time? I can't see. 11:30. Oh yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Yeah.
Many times actually we hear
this is ecstasy, you know, or you hear all these talks about Radha Kund and that's a long way. Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then all that will come in due course of time. It's not so easy that you'll, you know, just buy a ticket to India, to Delhi, get a taxi to Radha Kund, and go 1, 2, 3, jump. Now I'm in Radha Kund. It's not so easy. Now I got it. Now I got Radha Prem. It only cost me, you know, for less than €1,000, I got a cheap deal on Syrian Airlines or something. Cheap ticket to Delhi. I bargained with the taxi wala. I got to Radha Kund really cheaply. Put on my shorts, dunked in Radha Kund. Here's a photo. Goku Chandra was telling me one devotee from Croatia. He read if you recite this Radha Sahasranam 1,000 times while studying in Radha Kund, then you're guaranteed to get Radha Prem. So he did it. It's like, you know, a whole Sahasranam, it takes a long time to recite it. So he stood and recited it, I don't know, 1,000 times, took all day or something, standing in Radha Kund. And he got up and went back and he saw he'd left the last sheet. He didn't recite it all. Not Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem? That's very low class. Radha Prem. There's no mechanical means to get it. You have to. Mercy comes down. So, what was your question? You're going to ask about cheap tickets to India?
Many times we hear that first you have to get fried with this material world.
First you have to get fried with this material world. Okay, let's go get fried!
But first you have to get fried
Okay.
And disgusted, and then
meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. Okay, let's go for it, folks. This is the best way to become spiritually advanced. First of all, we have to eat lots of meat, have lots of gambling, lots of intoxication, and lots and lots and lots of illicit sex. Then we can become Krishna conscious. This is it. That's what we're missing.
No, it was like this. Many times we hear.
Many times you hear. Who are you listening to? You're listening to devotees. Right.
When you are frustrated with grihastha life, it's easier to give up.
When you're frustrated with grihastha life, then it's easier to give up.
But actually, we are getting frustrated with grihastha life, lifetime after lifetime.
That's true. Well, there is an alternative to getting frustrated with grihastha life, and that is Krishna sangsar karo charyana cha. Become Krishna conscious in your grihastha life. Then you can go, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, you can go with your wife back to Godhead. So that's an alternative.
It's a higher taste, I mean, taste for chanting, taste for association.
Yeah.
That actually saves us.
Of course. Why are you looking so confused?
But I was just confused when I heard the statement you have to get fried. But I was wondering, yes. I'm getting fried lifetime after lifetime.
Yeah, association with devotees, hearing regularly, and for those who are members of the Sankirtan movement, preaching. Those who are initiated have the responsibility to preach Krishna consciousness. That's for everyone. Duty of every disciple. Generally we say like that, that you should give up family life, because generally everyone's too attached. Prabhupada wrote in one purport that every grihastha is too much attached to his wife. So I thought about that, and then that means that any attachment is too much. But if one can actually cultivate the consciousness that my wife is not for my sense enjoyment, but she's a devotee, then instead of seeing her as an object of enjoyment, then we'll see her as a devotee. There's a different way of seeing. Then, anything else? You want to say it in the mic?
Are there any other alternatives to grihastha to engage in Krishna?
You mean the brahmacharis are not? Do you want to say it in? Oh, all right, it's being translated.
So what happens? New people are coming, and old people are just
fading away. Yeah, spiritual leadership is required. Generally, it's considered that householders are weak. Generally, it's thought like that. It may not necessarily be true, but generally, householders look for spiritual guidance to sannyasis, actually. And like I was saying, like this weekend warriors, the impetus comes from the temple. But if you find everyone's weak, well, you can become strong. You can try and take a lead. You can organize book distribution among the grihasthas, you know. Book distribution, if you find that too much of a challenge all at once, you can organize Harinam, bring out, gather up all the grihasthas who are kind of, you know, out on the edge. They only, you know, they go once a month to the Sunday program or on festivals. The rest of the time, you don't see them. Gather them all up and say, "Hey, let's go on Harinam once a month, then once every 2 weeks, once every week." And you can add book distribution. You can. Someone has to take the initiative. You can't. You may not be able to wait for someone else to come along. Do you have to have permission to go on Harinam? I don't think so. Especially if you go in the housing area, you may not need it. Still, permission is required? Yeah. In the town. And maybe you can do that also. It's nice in Croatia. People like it, huh? I mean, it's not, you don't get people throwing beer bottles at you and all that kind of thing, no. So you can...
I was reading this book.
You can do that also. You can, you know, sometimes in the city center or some shopping area, put down, you know, sit down, do kirtan. That can be done. Do something. And then maybe sometimes you could travel out to. Everyone likes that. That's exciting. Going somewhere else. You could go to Čakovec or somewhere, and from Zagreb, and have an outing and do Harinam somewhere else. That becomes more exciting. Or you could join the Karlovac devotees sometimes, like that. These are some suggestions. It's not difficult to get together. You just have to have some initiative. That's all. I can't do it for you. Anything else?
Yes,
ladies? Farm communities, the great hope for the future, for the grihasthas. That's also required. All right, well, if there's nothing else, then we can chant Hare Krishna and be happy.